Okay, so today's daf is a daf mem dalet. So we got three lines down from the top. The Gemara says, Amar Mar, Ibai, Bahai Gavya, Ibai, Bahai Gavya. You have the option of the two shars we have from yesterday, that the one star, one ksuba was 200, the other one was 300. And the Gemara says you have the option to choose from which one. Each one has a certain advantage, that the earlier one has the collective already shibudi carcass from earlier, but the amount was less. And the second ksuba fish he opted was more money, but it had less security to collect from the property. So the Gemara again says, Amar Mar, E, by behind Gavi, by behind Gavi. You want to choose from this one? You could choose from this one. If you want to choose from that one, you could choose from that one. The Gemara points out, Lema Pliga the Rav Nachman. This argues on the sheet of Rav Nachman. The Dama Rav Nachman Shnei Shtaros Hayotin Bezeh Acher Zeh. If one document is produced after another document, the din is Zeh Bitel Sheni Es Harishon. The second document is going to override the first one. In other words, you have no right to collect from the first shtar once you write a second shtar. So while we said previous to this that both shtars are good, you have to just choose one or the other, here we're told that the first one actually is completely disqualified by writing the second one. So Gemara then says, Lav Mi, so Lav Mi Itmar, did we not say on this statement, Lav Mi Itmar La, Amra Papa, when do we say that Shtar B knocks out Shtar A? Only when they're the same amount. There's no advantage of one over the next. So the later date knocks out the earlier date. However, Mode Rav Nachman admits, Di Osef Bei Dikla, if you add a Dekel tree or any other additional amount of money, the Tosefes Kasva, you're only writing the second one not to nullify the first document, rather to add on to the first document. Hachanami ha'osiv lamida. Here as well, you're coming to add on. So there's no machlokas here. If both documents are the same amount of money, so the second one is overriding the first one. But if the second document has more money, so simply you're writing the second one simply to add on more money, but not to cancel, nullify the first one. So now the Gemara is going to restate what we just said and then analyze a bit further. Gufa, we're restating Amr of Nachman, Shnei Sharos, Hayotin, Bezachar Zeh, Bitel Sheni, Es Harishon. Amr Papa, Umodav Nachman, Diosib Dikla, Litosef Es Kasri. So that was just a restatement. So Pshita, it's obvious, Rishon, Bimecher, Visheni, Bimatana. If the first document is written as a Mechira, and the second document is written as a gift, so it's Pasha Liafus Kochahu, the Kasiv Lay. He was writing the second document. He changed the nature of the gift from a sale to a gift. Why? To give that person a strength, greater strength. Mishum Dina de Bar Metzer. In order to avoid Dina Bar Metzer Halachas. What's Dina de Bar Metzer Halachas? If you look at Rashi, Rashi writes Liafus Kochahu Kasve. Vinami Lo Osibe. Even if he does not add any money or value to the second document, Lo Bito Sarishan does not disqualify the first document. Ella, why did he write the second one? Delo lacy b'nei mitzra la'rure alev. The b'nei mitzra, the neighbors, always have the right to buy a neighboring house or property before anybody else. But the kai malan matana les be mishum dina bar mitzra. So let's say Reuven's surrounded by Shimon. So Reuven's selling his house. So Shimon says, wait a second, you have to give it to us, the first option to buy it. But if Reuven is gifting the property, then Shimon cannot claim the Dina de Bar Metzra. So when Reuven initially sold it to whatever party, they said, you know what, I'm going to give it to you as a gift in order to avoid Shimon from claiming Dina de Bar Metzra. That's why to the second one is a good sale. It's a good document, but not to, again, override the sale, the first document, simply to give greater strength by writing Matana instead of Mechira. So that's one. And the Kol Shekinah, certainly even more so, Rishon b'matana v'sheni b'mecher. The first document was written as a gift, and the second document was written as a mechir, as a sale. Certainly that's going to also not override the first document, but there's a reason why he changed the nature of the giving to a sale. D'aminan mishum dina d'bal chovu d'kasev kein. He was giving him greater strength. The lokeach now has greater strength. Why? Because let's say Reuven's property end up being taken away by a lien of some sort the bank had taken from him. So if you're an owner, if you're a lokeach, you actually could go back to buy it from the mocher, get the money back. So let's say Reuven sells to Levi. So Levi owns the property now. If it's a gift, let's say Reuven gives it to a gift, and the bank says, wait a second, that's our property, we have the lien, Levi can't claim from Reuven, I want some money back. But if Reuven sold it to Levi as a mechira, and then the bank takes the property from Levi, Levi has every right to go back to claim back the money from Reuven. So changing the shtar from a matana to a mechira gives Levi, the lokeach, greater strength. So again, I understand the Gemara says, when both documents have the same value, if it either goes from the first one being a mecher to a matana, or from a matana to a mecher, then it doesn't disqualify the first document. both documents are good enough because the reason why you change it was to give a certain strength to the recipient, to the makabel, to the lokeach. However, the question becomes as follows: Eleish shneim b'mecher or shneim b'matana. Let's say both documents are both a mecher or they're both a matana. So the din is sheni batel zerishon. So then, bitul sheni zerishon, that the second document will nullify the first one. There's no added value. If there's added value, we said as well, the second one doesn't knock out the first one. But if the same exact value, and they're both written as a mechir, and they're both written as a matana, so then it is mevatel the first one, my time, and what's the reason? And here we have a machlokas. Raf from Amar, Emer ode odila, because he admits, what does he admit to? So you need to look at Rashi to explain. Rashi says, ode le, bal shtar, the one holding the shtar, Sharishon Mizuyafi, he admits that the first document was really forged. Vinisratza al ha'acher ligvos mizman sheni. So since the first document was forged, they're willing to go through with the second document, and even though it meant he's going to collect less time to collect from whatever he needs to collect, mizman sheni, he'd rather have a shtar that's a good shtar. So that's why, because by again writing the second one, the same exact terms as the first one, other than mizman, it must be that the first one was a mizuyaf. However, Rav Acha Amar, Emer achule achle lishibuda. No, it wasn't because mezuyah. The first star was a really good star, but he was mochel. Whatever reason, he was mochel on the zman rishon, and he's willing to take from his zman sheni. And for that reason, the first document is batal. So my benai, what's the nafkamina between these two? Whether or not is that they admit that the first star was mezuyah, or he was mochel on the first star, what's the nafkamina? And the Gemara brings three nafkaminas. I'll first read them, then we'll explain them. Ik benai, urui sade, lishlume pere, ulataska. So Rashi explains the first one is Arui Misade, Hachasumim Berishon, those who signed in the first one, are those Edim now, are they Pasul Edim? According to Rafram, who says that it was a Shar Mezuyof, that means that Edim are Pasul, and they can't testify in any other case. And Rav Acha, no, Rav Acha says, all he was Mocha on the first star. But he wasn't disqualifying this first star, he wasn't disqualifying the Edim. So on that Nafkamina, Rad Tosas has an issue with Rashi's understanding. But just because the Shtar is a Mezuyof, and the guy admits the Shtar is a Mezuyof, that doesn't make Edim Psulim. I mean, I can't knock out two Edim. I'm one person. If two Edim say that guy's Pasul, and that guy's Pasul, fine. But for me to say that was a Shtar Mezuyof, I have no right to make these Edim Pasul for the rest of their life. So look what Tosas writes here. Tosas writes, Ika benayu orui sade, that the Edim are not Pasul for the rest of their life, in essence. Tema gadola. Ma shapirish bekuntris. How did Rashi explain this? Lifsol ha'edim? That this one guy, by admitting that Shar Mezuyof, he in essence passed to edim? Dein yachol lifsol edim binin zeh. You can't knock out edim, disqualify them. You could say the Shtar isn't good, fine, but you can't say the edim aren't good. Benir Lari, dim yesh lazeh mekabel matana, if shum Shtar acher, she'edim elu chasumim bo, marin lo l'shtara hovahu mod shem psum. In other words, if this guy who's admitting this Shtar is not good, if he happens to have another star with the same exact Edom, those Edom would not be good for his star. But not to say the Edom are Pasul, there's a Chelos Psu on them. Only anything that relates to me and the Edom, I say that this star is Pasul, and any star with their signature is also Pasul as it relates to me. But in other documents, other testimonies, those Edom are still kosher because one person can't knock out two Edom. Either way, that's the first Nafkamina, whether those Edom are Pasul. The second Nafkamina, the Gemara said, was Lishlume Peri, to pay the fruit. Says Rashi, "L'shulme peyre she'och lokeach bein zman rishon l'zman sheni." That lokeach ate from the first time to the second time. So according to Rafram, the lokeach never owned it from the first man because that was a shtar mezuyof. So he would have to pay all the fruit he had eaten from them. But according to the second opinion, that of Rav Acha, where he was just mochel by the shtar, but he really owned it from the zman rishon, he would not have to pay back. And the third nafkamina is taxa, which is taxes, whether the lokeach has to pay taxes or not. If the first shtar was a mezuyof, lokeach never owned it. It was really the mocher who owns it. He must pay the taxes from the zman rishon. But if it was simply he was mochel on the shtar rishon, but in reality he owned the property from the zman rishon, so then the lokeach would have to pay the taxes. So what's in the end of the day, asks the Gemara, my havelei diksuba. We've been talking now this amud about shtaros, but yes, it was about a ksuba. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the bottom line? How do we paskin by a ksuba? Is it Zman Rishon? Is it Zman Sheni? So the Gemara says, Tashma, Damar Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Shmuel, Bishum Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, Mana Masayim, the ksuba, the amount of a mana for an amana, or a Masayim for a basula, Minha Erisin, they could collect as far back as the Erisin, that's already when the Chalos kicks in, V'Tosefes Minha Nesuin, and any surplus above the 100, above the 200, that Tosefes is only collected from Shas Nesuin. Chachamim omrim echad zev echad zev nesuin. Nope. The Karen or the Tosefis only goes mishas nesuin, not mishas erusin. The Hilchas, the bottom line is echad zev echad zev mina nesuin. We paskin that the ksuba can only be collected from any shibudim mishas nesuin, not from shas erusin. So Tosa asks a question. Wait a second here. This pasuk of the Gemara, the Hilchas echad zev echad zev mina nesuin, says that goes against another klal because we have a klal above. We always pask like Rav Nachman when it comes to dini mamnas. When it comes to choshe mishpat, we always pask like him. And we had above that Rav Nachman said he was the one earlier that the first. You should look at Rashi and make this clearly. Rashi, rather Tosos, Hilchasa, Echadzev, Echadzev, says Tosos, Tema. The Rabbeinu Yitzchak, the Hashem, Askinun, Echadzev, Echadzev, Minan Nesuin, the Paskin, that you have Shas Nesuin, even though Afagav, the Osivla, even though he added on the Tosefis, we always go Mishas Nesuin. Upliga, the Rav Nachman, this goes against Rav Nachman, like we said above. The Rav Nachman said above, E Osif Dikla, the Tosefis Adaita, the Tosefis Kasvei, below Bitul Sheni Esarishim. So it sounds like we don't knock out the first one. So according to the case we pass in, we always go based on the second man, not the first man. Rav Nachman above said, no, even the first man's good. Only Tosefis is from the second man. So Tosa ends up answering the following. He says, in essence, that Ksuba and Shtar are very different. Look what he writes. Three narrow lines up in Tosos. Vomari, the Hacha here, Afagav Dika Tosefis, even though the Tosefis here, Bitel Esash Rishon, and knocks out the Rishon by Ksuba, why? The time of Mishim Deleka Shtar Ksuba Ber Erison El Mitai Bezin. The only reason why there's a Ksuba by Erison is because Tanai Bezin. Ksuba only relates to Shas Nesuin. The fact that they had a ksuba mishas erusin, that's a dinder abadon, that's a tanai bezdin. V'hilkach nisbatel tanai rishon ayde shtar. And therefore, by writing a ksuba later on, that can knock out the earlier one of shtar erusin. That's all by ksuba. Aval de'ika shnei shash, when it comes to shnei shtaros, kishehosif b'sheni lo bitul sarishon ho v'hu b'yado adayin. Since he still holds on to the shtar rishon, shtar sheni isn't knocking out shtar rishon, simply adding on to shtar rishon. So there's a difference between ksuba versus Shtaros. That's in essence the answer of Tosos. So back inside now, the Mishnah begins. The Mishnah says, Hagioresh shenisgairu bito ima, a woman who's nisgair, and she's misgair her daughter along with her, vizinsa, and that daughter is mizana hareze bechenek. She gets chenek only. The Rashi says she's erusin and she's a nara. She gets chenek, even though normally a nara murasa is going to have a din of skila. When it comes to a gioresh, she only gets chenek. Why? Ein la lo pesach bias. She also, the din is, there's no Pesach Abayis, and normally the halach is that a Narim Rasa who's stoned, she has to be taken out to Pesach Abayis, and she's stoned by the entranceway to her father's house. By Gioris, there's no Pesach Abayis there, and also, if the man ends up being Motzi Shemra, and he's lying about it, then he's gonna normally pay 100 shekel, but when it comes to Gioris, there's no payment, there's no knas when it comes to a man being Motzi Shemra about a Gioris. So then the Mishnah says further, let's say she was conceived when her mother was still not Jewish, and but her mother converted while pregnant with her, so she was born in Kedusha, that's called Harasa Shloba Kedusha, Leidasa Biktusha, Harezu Beskila, that case would get Skila. We'll see why that's in the case in the Gemara, how we know she gets Skila in that case. However, still, Ein Lelo Pesach Beis Av, Lo Me'asela, still, there would not be a din of Pesach Beis Av, nor would there be a din of Me'asela for the man, if he lies. Ha'isa Harasa V'Leidasa B'Kedusha, let's say both the conception and the birth was Kedusha. In other words, her mother's a Gioris, and then she was conceived and born, so she's a dinit, Harehi Kabasi Yisrael L'Chal Devera, she's a full bona fide Jewish girl, and all the dinim apply. Let's say Yesh La'av V'Ein La'Pesach Bayis. Let's say she has a father, but the father doesn't have a house. Or Yesh La'Pesach Bayis Av V'Ein La'av. Or they have the father's house, but the father's dead. Harezu B'Skila, she still gets a Skila. These pieces of the Av, or the Pesach Bayis Av, are not Ma'akev on the Skila. Lo Nemar Pesach Bayis Av Ela L'Mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to stone her by the Pesach Bayis Av. But if there's not a Pesach Bayis Av, or there's no Av, that's not Ma'akev the din of the Skila. So this is the mission, a lot of different halakhas going on here. So look at Tosas in the bottom here. Tosas has the following question. The bottom Tosas. Ein la pesach beis av hareze b'skila. Tema. Detik shemehach l'man damar perak nigmar din. There's an opinion over there in the Gemara. Nikta yad ha'edim pater. If the hand of the edim are not cut off, they're pater. Debinin kri kedichsev. The din is that the yad ha'edim have to do the stoning. If the edim who testify don't have hands, they can't stone the nidim. Because we take the psukim very literally. So why don't we take it literally here as well, that there's no Pesach Beis Ha'av, there shouldn't be a skila. So it says Tosas v'yesh lomar the shiny hacha. Here's different. The gali krau mesa the rabbos harasa shloba kedusha haynu nami ein la av. In essence, that even though she has no father, and all the psukim we take the psukim very literally. If the edim have no yad, there's no din eskila. So if there's no father, shouldn't be a din eskila here either. But there's a special pasuk that tells me if the word mesa, as we'll see in Amud Beis, tells us that a woman who's harasha shloba kedusha, that she was conceived without kedusha, in essence she has no father because her father has no yichas anymore, yet still she's included in the din of skila. So too if she mamish has a father. I mean, the first case is she has a father, biological father, but halachically not a father, and yet we still give her a stoning. So to even if her father's not alive, that is implied as well, she gets skila. So there's a special gzeirat kasev that even though we cannot fill the pasuk literally, we still include the din of ein la beisav. Now there are a few interesting explanations why that when it comes to the gioris, that the pesach beisav, why she doesn't have Pesach Beis Av. So Tosfos really explained, because since we don't know who her father is, even though she might think she knows who her father is, but since when it comes to the Goyim, the Shtufei Zima, we don't know who the real father is, there's no requirement of Pesach Beis Av. The Shita Megbeta says, no, even if we know who her father is, we can prove who her father is, but since Ger Shinskaya, Kikatan Shinola Dami, we don't view the father as being the father. And the Shita Megbeta gives one other answer, is the only requirement of Beis Av is, as the Pasuk says, when you stone her, it says, Pesach Beis Av Uskalua. But since the din of a Gioris is only to get Chenek, Chenek is not connected to Pasuk Beis Av, and for that reason the din is that there wouldn't be a Pesach Beis Av. One more point here, Kivayeg asks the following question. Tosas and Daf Yud Alfam and Alf here in Ksuba said that a din of a Katan, Shinis Gayer, is only a Jew mid-Dirabanim. How can we take her status of being a Dirabanim Jew and apply a din deraisa of Skila or Chenek, all that, she's only a Dirabanim? Rabbi Kiv Eger says, must be that even though she converted when she was a Katana, when she was a Gadola, she had to reconvert or reaccept her Geiris to make her a Bas Yisrael deraisa, so that all these things would take effect. Fine, so now move to Amud Beis. The Gemara says in Amud Beis as follows. Says, how do we know this is true? That a woman who's harasa shloba kedusha, but leidasa bikdusha, that she gets skila. That's what the Mishnah said, but how does the Mishnah know this? And so the Gemara says, Amar Reish Lakish, Damar Kra, the Pasuk says, umesa lerabos harasa shloba kedusha, leidasa bikdusha. The word mesa is extra to come to include that even a woman who wasn't conceived bikdusha, but she was born bikdusha, she too is included in the halachas of skila. Asks the Gemara, if that's the case, if the woman, if this Gioris is not really Gioris, but this woman who shlo harasa b'kedusha, she gets Misa, so then Ihachi, we should have the flip side. If the man were to be Moti Shemra on her, if he were to lie about the situation, he should get Milke Namid Noke, he should get Malkos, Umea Sela Namid Sham, he should have to pay any of the payments for this. Why are we only saying that she's included in the Misa, but the man doesn't get to punish for anything if he's lying? So the Gemara says, because the Torah tells us that. Amakra, Umesa, Lemisa Nisrabsa, Velola Knas. Because the word Mesa implies that she's included only in terms of the Misa, but she's not included in terms of giving the man Skila, giving the man Malkos, or Tashlumim. So Gemara now says, Ve'ema, maybe we should say the word Mesa is coming to include Lerabos, Harasa, Veleidasa, Bekdusha. So maybe that's the case, and not to include Harasa, Shiloh, Bekdusha. And the Gemara answers, Hahi Yisraelis Mal Yasahi. No. A woman who's born to a mother, Harasa, and Leidas Bekdusha, that's a full bona fide Bas Yisrael. You don't need a pasuk to include that. So then the Gemara says, okay, V'ema, maybe we should say Lerabos, Harasa, Leidas Bekdusha. Maybe the word Mesa should come to include a woman who was born not Jewish, but she converted. Maybe Mesa should say she gets Skila as well. The Gemara says, Imkein, be Yisrael, my Ahanilei. When the pasuk used the word Yisrael, what's it coming to include? So we have one word Mesa, one word be Yisrael. The Yisrael seems to exclude only a certain class, and Mesa comes to include. So the only way things make sense is Yisrael must exclude a Gioris from getting Skila, and Mesa must, and it can't include Leidasa, Harasa Leidasa certainly is a Basil, that's included, that's a Pasha Din. So the only things we can actually entertain is Harasa Shloba Kedusha, Leidasa Bekdusha, and a Harasa Leidasa Shloba Kedusha. So it must be the word Yisrael is coming to exclude a Gioris, and the word mace is coming to include a harasa shloba kedusha and leidasa bikedusha. Fine. So now the Gemara says as follows: Amir Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, hamoti shemra al hayisoma. Woman or man who's moti shemra, who claims that this yisoma had no dam basulim. If she's a yisoma, she has no father. Pater, there's no requirement of the payment, even though normally you have to pay knas. By yisoma, there's a gzeirat kasev that one does not have to pay knas. Shenemar v'nasnu lavi hanara. that the pasuk clearly states that only a person who has a father is there a payment. If there is no father, like a yesoma, there is no payment. So meisiv Rabbi Yosi bar Abin, viseima Rabbi Yosi bar Zvida, vim ma'in yimayin avia, the rabbos yesoma laknas, divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili. We have a brayse that clearly states, the Rabbi Yosi Aglili says the double lashon ma'in yimayin comes to include that even yesoma can collect knas, even though there's no father in the picture. So that goes against Rabbi Yosi's understanding above. So who mosiv la, who mifarik la. He asked the question, it was asked by Rabbi Yosi, and he answers the question. Biba aleha, v'charkach nisyasma, that's what we're talking about. If a woman was yesoma when the Motzi Shemra took place, pater, there's no avianara. If she had a father when the Motzi Shemra took place, and then the father died before being able to collect it, so then there is a din of knas. So Martin Yimayin is talking about her father's alive when the Motzi Shemra took place. When it came to the collection, he already died. So since the knas already existed, b'shas the father's alive. So that's the situation the Gemara is talking about. Ma'in yamayin, that even yesoma could collect the knas. Again, it's b'bala, b'charkach nisyasma. So then Rava comes along, Rava argues. Rava says, not true. He thinks by yesoma, even when the father was in the picture from the beginning, b'shas bia yechayef, there is a chiv knas even for yesoma. Mimai, how does he know this? Midetani Ami had the braisa, Besulas Yisrael, lo Besulas Gerim. The pasuk tells us that in the context of Motzi Shemra, I read the pasuk quickly. V'onchi also mea kesef, v'nasu lavia nara, kihotu Shemra al Besulas Yisrael. Why the word Yisrael? Of course we're talking about Yisrael. What's Besulas Yisrael? To exclude a Besulas Gerim. By Besulas Gerim, there are no payments. So Gemara explains, what's the raya? That by Yisoma, there would be a payment. If you're telling me by Besulas Yisrael, of Yisoma, there's a chiv to pay the mea kesev. That's why you need a pasuk to say only by Yisrael, only by Yisoma, but a ger doesn't have the payment. But if you're going to tell me by Yisrael ki agav nepater, that a bas Yisrael who's born as bas Yisrael and she's a Yisoma, she's pater from payment, she doesn't get a payment. Hashu be Yisrael pater begame mibayin. So if we establish that a Yisoma doesn't have to get payment, Kavachomer Ger doesn't get payment either. So from the fact that you need to exclude a Ger, must be that something that it's a Bas Yisrael, who's a Yisoma, certainly would receive payment. So that's Rava's Raya. So either way, there's a machlokus between Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina and Rava, whether or not there would be a Motzi Shemra Tashumim in the case of Yisoma or not. So then the Amar Rish Lakish says, HaMotzi Shemra al Katana Pater. If we're dealing with the Katana, so then she'd be Pater. Shenamar, how do we know? Or he'd be Pater. Shenamar, V'nosnu la'avi ha'nara. Nara, Maleha Dav, Dibar HaKasav. The Pater is referring to a full-fledged Nara, because it says Nara with the extra hay. Remember we had this discussion a few days ago. Nun, Ayin, Resh, Hay, full. That Nara, but a Katana, would not be included, would not get the payment of Motzi Shemra. So Maskula Rav Yaacha Bar Abba, we saw this already in the Gemara earlier, a few days ago, Taimu Dichsebe HaNara, only because we said there were Nara, it's written with a full hay at the end, Ha Lav Hachi had not been that case, Hava Mina Afil Katana. Would one think that the Pasuk of Motzi Shemra could even talk about a Katana, a minor, that there should be payment by a minor? Haksiv of the Im Emes Hayadavar, if the man's right and is claiming that there's no Dam Besulim, Hazel Lo Nimtzu Besulim, Lenara, V'yotzia es anare el pesach b'savia. You take her out to the house, the entranceway of the father's house, v'skalua, and you'd stone her. And if you were to think that this pasuk talking about a katana la bas onjini, you don't give punishments to a katana. So how could there even be a havamina that the katana is what the pasuk is referring to? That you have to have the naira excludes a katana. You can't even entertain the possibility of a katana being implied by the pasuk. Ella kan naira. There is really no havamina. This is pashit that we're only talking about a girl who's a naira. But once we establish that the case of Motzi Shemra must be a Naira, and the word is spelled Nun Ayin Resh Hey, the full amount here, that just serves as a model for us that Komakum Shinemar Naira without the Hey, Afil Katana. So there's no Havamin is here. This is certainly not talking about a Katana. But again, we learn from here that wherever it does write Nun Ayin Resh, that would include a Katana, whatever that Halacha might be talking about. Okay, so we'll stop here. I'm not going to be around Sunday or Monday, but I'll be back on Tuesday.
Did I ask something today?